Sunday. I left on vacation. An uncommon life-giving love. A wonderful, uncommon life-giving love. I want us to approach it in this way. I want us to be thinking about the type of person we were before we met Jesus. And some of you I recognize, you have yet to meet him. But those of us that have, remember where we were. And then also remember what your life was like. And how he touched you. And the changes that he made. For some of you, it was enormous right away. And others, it was little things, little bit by little bit. So as we approach the scriptures this morning, my hope is that you'll come to them with a real passion in your heart. You're going to be hearing from the one true living God. He has a message about this uncommon love that he wants to talk to you as an individual about. He's going to talk to some of you in such a way as to say, you are such a marvelous example. Thank you so very much for the way you're doing it. Don't stop. Keep pursuing that in such a way as to reach that peak performance with my help. And others of you, you're going to sense, well, that's not quite me. And I'm going to say, that's okay, but it's with this caveat. It's okay because you recognize it, but the Holy Spirit is going to help you to reach that peak performance. If you decide you want to have what's already within you, this uncommon love that was poured into you when you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, he poured it into your heart. You can read about it in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Just read there. It's there and it's waiting for you to just let it come forth. And the difference it'll make in your own life and the lives of others. Now, some of you, your life with the Holy Spirit is so-so, okay? You understand? It's just so-so. It's not really exciting. And so it may mean that you need some courage. So ask the one who can give you this passion, who can raise this courage up within you to approach our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, to invite him to help you to want to reach this wonderful peak performance, because this whole area of love is all part of his biggest commandment. The greatest commandment is that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that character sitting next to you, that person in front of you, the person behind you. He wants you to love them with this unconditional, uncommon, selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. So you need to take the initiative. Just as the Lord told us, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Seek after this love that has been given to you so that it can be given to the people that deserve to receive it. And that's all the people that you're going to encounter. Those ignoramuses, you're to give them that love. You're the instrument of that love in their life. And it will create change in your own life. If you think about it, as I think about it, the passion that I have for the Lord Jesus, I can't say I had this early on and early into my relationship with him. There is just tremendous passion. I just love being with him. I love reading his word because he's speaking directly to me as I read his word. It's not just a book, a nice book like so many books that I've read. This is his word. He's speaking into my life. He gives me power and he's helping me to be a better man of integrity. And he'll help you as well as that power of the Holy Spirit rises up within you as you seek it every day. It'll be the driving force within you. So all these things are so very important. As we get back into this passage, or passages, I'm asking you, please, I'm asking you to focus with your mind, with your heart, with the spirit. I'm asking you to focus, because where your focus goes, as we have learned in the past, that's where your energy will flow. Not just your human energy, but as you focus on the Lord, as you focus on what he says to you specifically, you're going to find that the Spirit of God's energy is going to move you in that direction. And you're going to watch your life become an action step of the Word of God. People are going to be enormously touched by you. By you. Because God is going to use you as a tool in their lives. So as you look back at our text again, an uncommon life-giving love. I shared with you there on page 1 my statement. Unconditional love is not common. It is difficult at times to find this love being manifested in people. It's a love that is easy to set aside for a cheap version of what one might call common love, which is a love which with strings attached to it. A love that says, if you love me, I'll love you. Maybe. I will give to you if you will give to me. I find this in marriage all the time. It's not the uncommon love, the agape love, the unconditional love. It is this common love. And it doesn't work. Common love is often selfish, mitigated. That's your fill-in. And it should already be filled in. Common love will not long put up with one's unloveliness. It doesn't always believe in you, nor will it endure hardship for very long with you. So I share with you that God's love is not exclusive, it is inclusive. The people you find that you would rather not love, God loves them. And he wants you to love them too. And I understand how hard that can be. I honestly do. I've been there. I hope I don't go back there, but being human, I may find myself there if I'm not walking in the Spirit. The fact is, as we filled it in for you, God's love doesn't exclude people who are different. And what makes them different? You know, we all decide on our own who's different. We have our own scale that makes somebody different. Some of us see differences and we make a negative out of it. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be that way. But maybe it should be that way for that particular individual or that couple. Some of us need to take off those judgmental glasses. I'm not saying that we can't make judgments. He has given us his word to be able to determine right and wrong. But I'm talking about being judgmental. Because if we're not by the favor of God in our lives, if we didn't have the favor of God in our own lives, we could be exactly like this person that we are finding ourselves judging in an improper way. When we demonstrate this unconditional love, people may not respond right away to you exercising it in their life, exercising it towards them. They may not respond to it right away. It may not seem like it's going in any particular good way in that person's life. You know, they continue to keep making poor, sinful choices. I think you know what I mean. But there is a key here. And this is where we're picking up this morning on page 2 of your notes. Those seeds of love that you've been sharing, they never die. They never die. Say that with me. Those seeds of love never die. They never die, family. Not once you have been the good sower and you've been sowing those good seeds. The gospel of our Lord, the character qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, such as this uncommon love. Some scientists recently found that some seeds, they say, were 2,000 years old. Imagine that? Did you read about it? 2,000 years old. They had been sealed in an airtight coffin, and when some were planted, the watered seeds, they took root. 2,000 years old. Those seeds were still alive thousands of years after they had been put in the coffin. Now, I've given you a citation to go and read for yourself, because I didn't believe it at first. I have to look at this. And it says here in Wikipedia, the oldest mature seed that has grown into a viable plant was a Judean date palm seed about 2,000 years old, recovered from an excavation at Herod the Great's palace on Masada. And I showed you pictures up here on the screen of Masada in Israel. It was germinated in 2005, and it grew into a plant. 2,000 years old. And the same is with you sharing these seeds from the Word of God, sharing this uncommon love, the seeds of this wonderful, uncommon, unfettered love. There's no chains on it. Family, when you share the words of our Heavenly Father with someone, He has told us that His Word is alive. It's living. And many of you recognize that, but maybe you've never put it together that my life has been changed in a living way. I've actually watched my life change. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, I'm going to ask you to read that with me in just a moment. But as we go to it, I want you to go to it with happiness, okay? The Lord has a message for you. He wants to say something about Himself to you this morning, okay? So as we read this, read it with a happiness in your own heart, okay? And let it come forth, because when you hear this in your words, or these words now in your ears, this is His words, and He's talking to you, okay? It's not Ron's words, they're His words, and He loves you. So let's read this together aloud. So shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. His word goes out and it comes back. His word will accomplish for which He sent it. It's a promise. It'll happen. Now, it may not happen like I talk to Him in this moment, and before we leave and get in our cars, it takes place. Might. But there have been individuals I've prayed for, I'm thinking two decades. And it is now that their lives are changing. The seed was not 2,000 years old. It was maybe a couple decades old. And it's bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, beautiful fruit. Read with me here from Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Let's read again with happiness, okay? For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Whoa! Have you ever felt like that yourself? I mean, here we stand. We think that we might be getting away with something, but the Lord, He sees it all. There's nothing He's missing. Ooh, you know? He actually saw me do, Yeah, and think about it, you know, for His Word, the Word of God, it is living and active. You know, he gives it, and it is there to correct me. It is there to encourage me. It is there to educate me. But it's living, and it's active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Man, there are times that whack, whack, you know, run. What are you doing? I'm sinning. That's what I'm doing. Exactly. That's what I'm doing. You know, when I was in the military, I'd come home on a leave, you know, for a few days and happened to be over a weekend. My mom became one of these fanatical Christians and, you know, you got to go to church with me, son, because, you know, she's trying to get me saved and I don't want to be saved. I the devil and I are cool. You know, I like his way of doing things. And, so I go to church, and there's the word, and there's the word, and I'm listening to the word, and I'm getting the oboe because sometimes the word puts me to sleep, like some of you. Elbows work. Go ahead, give me an elbow. And but then I go back to base. I go back into my military lifestyle, and I'm still sinning. Okay, I'm not going to come to faith for another 2+ years, I'm still sinning, but the thing is, the word is sharp, and it's active, and it cuts, because I'm doing my sin, and after I do my sin, what in the heck is this conviction? What is this thing making me feel bad and guilty about? I shouldn't feel bad and guilty. I like this. No, you don't. Yes, you do. No, you don't. It just drives me. It was really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. Because the word is living and active. In the same way, when you speak of our Lord to another person, his words of kindness and hope, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and him alone, they will never die. They'll never die. So don't stop sharing them. But not as a blustering big mouth. But as someone who cares, you share them in that same attitude. Love. Love isn't rude. Love isn't arrogant. Love is humble. Love is meek. So we share this. They'll never die. It may not look like your unconditional love towards a person is doing any good whatsoever, because it may be that that particular person, at this particular moment, their heart, the soil is hard. It's got a bunch of rocks in it. It's infested with weeds. They're not ready. They're not ready. But at the right time, our Heavenly Father, when that favor of His goes forth to this prepared soil of the person's heart, so they can receive the seed of the Word of God implanted, then will come forth this gift of faith, and in time it will produce a harvest, eternal life for that man, that boy, that girl, that woman. There'll be a changed life. Family, your time of showing unconditional love is not being wasted. Every time you show someone that you are seeking their best, their greatest good, and willing to make the sacrifice on your own part, these seeds are going out and they're being sown. There are times when you may feel like we need to give the Holy Spirit the day off. You ever felt like that? Because you're going to get in that person's life. You're going to be the one to make them feel guilty. You're going to be the one that decides, you know, I'm going to be the convicting influence in their lives. Well, let me tell you, I've done it. It doesn't work. Maybe you found the same thing. You just end up antagonizing and make them mad and ruining a relationship, at least for that point in time. Learn from some of my mistakes so you don't have to make them. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts family. He's the only one that can convict a person to salvation. We can't, but we can share the word with them. They'll come to faith in God's timing. So be patient. Be patient. You have that fruit of the Spirit already within you. It's there. The Holy Spirit is simply asking you, you want me to bring it forth? You want to work on it together? I've got it for you. You know, right now in some of our lives, it might be just this little teeny tiny thing like a raisin, you know, but it can grow to a wonderful, lush fruit of patience. And that's what we need in so many areas, and especially with some people. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, thinking of being patient, Paul, he says, or do you presume on the riches of God the Father's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God's plan will take place. Remember, his words go forth and they will not come to him empty. We have to be patient. As I say, with some people I've waited 2 decades, and in some instances, that's really not as long as other people have waited to see the fruit of love, agape love shared with someone else from the Word of God coming to fruition. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, like I count slowness. Gee, 20 years. Some people, a lot longer. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Just think of when you actually came to faith. Some of you have been Christians for a long time. Do you really think that your life before the Lord, I mean your life in the Lord right now, is something that he's going to go, woohoo, you, well, boy, this kid is terrific? Or do you think he'd be, I love him, and he knows, and she knows I love him. Man, they got so far to go. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He knows exactly who is going to repent and who isn't going to decide to respond to his grace through faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, into their lives. He knows that not everybody's going to do that. But that doesn't change the fact he'd love to see that. But he knows us. Folks, we are not here to straighten everyone out. That's not why when he saved you, that he left you here. He didn't leave you here, be the one that goes, straighten everybody out. A book that I read while I was on vacation by Mark Cahill. I recommend it. Mark Cahill is the author. And the title is One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. There's actually 2 things, but the one thing you can't do in heaven is you can't share the gospel to save someone's soul. They're all there because they've been saved. The other thing you can't do in heaven is sin. But it's a good book to read. We are here to love people. We are here to share God's love with people. And the greatest love that we can share with people is his truth, the gospel from our Lord Jesus. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should agape, that we should seek each other's best, that we should each sacrifice for one another. You've heard that from the beginning. The question that the church has to ask itself, is that what I'm doing? And if I am, super, super. And if I'm not, then why? 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk. You know, so many people, they've got a good gift of gab. They become good salespeople. You know, I know someone that can sell ice cubes to Eskimos. You know, just a good gift of gab. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Actions, action steps. What are you going to do? From this morning on till next Sunday morning, I'm calling you out, GHCC. I'm calling you out. What is your action step? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you specifically? How can you share this love with other people? Another person, a specific individual. Think about it. What is the action step the Spirit of God is asking you to share this love with other people, this uncommon, unconditional love with? In 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. Think of the way that you have not loved someone. The best thing I can do then is to go to that person or persons and tell them, look, what I said, what I did, maybe what I said, what I did was wrong. The way I said it was wrong. What I did was wrong. And that's not saying that maybe what they did, maybe they did do something awful. But the way I said it, the way I approached it, was wrong. And I'm asking then that person or those persons to please forgive me for my being wrong. I'm loving on them. I'm asking them to forgive me. Who do you need to go love? Who do you need to go love? Who needs your love right now? The Holy Spirit is talking to you, I know. And he wants you to go take care of that business. He wants you to share this uncommon, life-giving love with that person or those people. The very best thing, the very best good you can give someone is the good news given to you by Jesus, his gospel, the words of life that bring reconciliation between the unsaved and our God and Father. Look over here. Three people receive the truth, receive this love that I'm talking about, and the Lord gave someone by his grace through faith that wonderful gift of salvation. Such a beautiful thing. And he uses us. He uses you to do these marvelous things. The Holy Spirit is the one who will change. The Holy Spirit is the one who will fix and conform people to the image of our wonderful Savior. He does that. You know it in your own life. And if you don't know it in your own life and you're professing to be a Christian, then please, let us get together and talk about that. I won't sit in judgment of you. We're going to talk about what needs to happen, what you and the Holy Spirit need to do so that gets fixed, so that you can be the person you really want to be. In Romans 8:29, let's read this together, shall we? Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He says here that he predestined, that's predetermined, this person to be conformed to the icon of his son, to be living out Jesus' moral image, if you will. It is to be living out the wonderful characteristics of Jesus that are communicable from God to his kids. To be living these things out, to be in this image of his son, to be conformed to this image. Remember, this work that he began in you, this conforming you, he began when you first were saved. He is going to conform you till the day of Christ Jesus, he told us in Philippians chapter 1. He told us he who is in you is at work in you. This whole sanctification process. You know, sanctification is just a big word that he is working in you to become more and more like Jesus. You become aware of your own sinful faults, and with the help of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of him, you decide to start sliding those things away in his power and adopting the wonderful things of Jesus, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and humility and meekness and forgiving others as you have been forgiven, and putting on this wonderful breastplate of compassion towards all peoples. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's Adam, God equipped us to be able to live in this world. Just as you have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Christ has equipped us from the time of our salvation and is continuing to equip us to be more and more able to live the supernatural life that he has called us to live. We cannot live this life that he's called us to except in him, because it is supernatural. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she, is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We are to share this uncommon love with these people. And oftentimes we'll be calling each other back to be reconciled with our Lord, because we have fallen off that narrow road and found ourselves on the broad road. And we can't stay on that broad road because we're Christians. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self. Christians, we are the new creation. We put on the new self. We are God's beloved children. We walk humbly, meekly. We come alongside others and bolster them, help them. We build them up. We are forgiving people. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That's why morning devotions are so important in the life of genuine Christians. Because either we get up in the morning and it's good morning, Lord, and from there we have our conversation with him and he speaks into our own life through this beautiful document he's left us. Or we get up in the morning and we go in the fruit of the flesh. We are fleshly most of the day. We didn't get up with Jesus, we got up with ourselves. And getting up with ourselves and going into the world with ourselves means that we're going to live a life in the flesh. That's why devotional life is so important, to get us to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Again, to refresh us, that He'll be our focus and that He will focus us on the things we need to be doing today and whatever our career may be, or as we are to conduct ourselves at school. Teachers should look at Christian kids as, wow, where'd this kid come from? Rather than, yeah, where'd that kid come from? Folks, some of us have not been merciful and loving unconditionally. Be honest. But as you allow the Holy Spirit to continue working in you, as you show love, you are showing those around you what God the Father is really like, what His Son, Jesus Christ, is really like. What the Holy Spirit can do in any person's life who gives themselves over in fullness to this wonderful, one true living God. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, a man said, then you better start living like your Redeemer. Are you living like our Redeemer? People need this glorious, unconditional, uncommon love family. You're the receptacle it's been poured out into. You have an inexhaustible amount of this love. You have more seeds than you can ever sow. I just want to encourage you this next week to be that sower. Get it? Good. We'll finish this next Sunday. Oh, Father, thank you so much for meeting us here together corporately. I thank you for bringing Kath and I home safely to our Ohana. There are times when I wish you'd move this whole family to Maui, but thank you for bringing us home to them. Thank you for them. I pray, Father, for each of them individually, that they will offer themselves up to you this morning as a living and holy sacrifice, that they will see themselves as you intended them to be, a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works. Works that are going to call attention not to themselves, but call attention to you, our wonderful Heavenly Father. So, Father, may your Holy Spirit continue the process of sanctification for each of us. May you bring conviction where there needs to be, because I know you'll bring encouragement because you love to be our cheerleaders. Bring that too. But please, Father, may we be beautiful tools in your hand this coming week for your glory, for your Son's honor, and for the joy of the Holy Spirit. So these things we do ask this morning in the lovely name of your Son, who made such a sacrifice that no one else could make for us. We are so grateful. In his name we pray. Amen.